And here are the headlines from some of the stories we're following here today at NPR News. U.S. officials say they warned the Indian government that terrorists appeared to be plotting an assault on Mumbai before last week's deadly attack. The revelation came a day before Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice was due to visit India. And U.S. automakers had another dismal month. Both Ford and GM announced steep declines in November sales. GM sales plunged 41%. Ford's dropped 31%. The big three automakers submitted their restructuring plans to Congress today. Details on those stories and, of course, much more later today on All Things Considered. Tomorrow on Talk of the Nation, NPR correspondent Ivan Watson and his Iraqi translator Ali Hamdani had a narrow escape this past Sunday. Their car exploded outside a kebab shop in Baghdad. They'll join us to talk about that and about security in Baghdad tomorrow on Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Yesterday, President-elect Barack Obama included the current Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates, as part of his national security team that ensures continuity amid two wars and solves some political problems, but could create some, too. While Secretary Gates will remain, most if not all of his top civilian aides will not. Democrats will replace Republican appointees at the Pentagon. Those new faces may look skeptically at their Republican boss from time to time. His old friends may have some questions for him, too. Someone who knows what it's like to work for Republicans and then for Democrats is David Gergen, who worked for Richard Nixon, Gerald Ford, and then as Director of Communications for Ronald Reagan. He later went back to the White House as a senior advisor to Bill Clinton. If you're wondering what that's like and what Robert Gates may be in for, give us a call. 800-989-8255. You can also email us, talk@npr.org. And David Gergen joins us now from a studio on the campus at Harvard University, where he's now a professor of public service at the Kennedy School of Government. Always nice to have you with us, David.
Thank you, Neil. It's good to talk to you again.
And I wonder, when you went to the Clinton administration, did you get invited to anybody's parties at all?
You had to keep her back very close to the wall at times, Neil. And even now, I've got a few scars to show for it. But you do find when you go from administration one party White House to another party's White House, the culture is different. Democrats tend to run things differently from Republicans. Republicans are more corporate, they're a little more buttoned up, more hierarchical. And when you go through Air Force One on a Republican administration, you typically find people reading, Tom Clancy. And with the Democrats, Democrats thrive on chaos, and they like sort of loose, informal arrangements. It's more a little more bottoms up. It's loosey-goosey, but it's creative. When you come through the plane, you may find somebody reading Rilke's letters to a young poet. There are differences. I think that for Secretary Gates, he does carry such a stellar reputation on both sides of the aisle that will help him. It will also help him that Jim Jones, the former commandant of the Marine Corps, is going to be the National Security Advisor. I think those two will be very simpatico, and that he will, and Jones will help to protect him. But you know what's really important for him is to get a couple of Obama types on his side who are closely allied with him at the Pentagon, who also understand and are into the internal politics of the White House. You know, every White House develops its own culture and its own internal politics. And I remember when Les Aspin came in as defense secretary for Bill Clinton. Now, he was from the Democratic Party, but when he got over to the Pentagon, he didn't have anybody on his team who really understood the inner machinations of the Clinton White House.
He came from Congress, was his background.
He came from Congress, yes. And he was a Democrat of the same party. He came down from the House Armed Services Committee, but he was marginalized in part because he didn't have that inside sense of things over there.
Bill Cohen, who later replaced him, of course, Secretary Aspin terribly, unfortunately, died. Bill Cohen, a Republican, then became the Secretary of Defense. He also came from Congress, but he was better connected at the White House.
He was better connected, and I think that's what's going to serve Bob Gates well. It is very, very true. As you know, it's the gulfs and are not just between parties, but they can be between the White House and the agencies. And the White House can sort of essentially decide it wants to seize control of policy and leave a Secretary of Defense or a Secretary of State, in Colin Powell's case, feeling like he's sort of an outsider. And then people over at the White House accuse him of running a separate government, which I thought was very unfair to Colin Powell, but made his tasks very difficult. And I think what that illustrates is the real issue for the Obama administration and national security is going to be this. He has assembled a team of heavyweights. But George W. Bush assembled a team of heavyweights. But in George W. Bush's case, that never became a cohesive team. There were so many sharp differences, philosophical differences among them, that they were often squabbling and never really had a sense of strategic vision that was consistent. Now, the question for Barack Obama is, can he take these heavyweights he's brought in, really star players, and form them into a cohesive team? That's going to be an act of real leadership on his part, a requirement of leadership, and he's going to be looking closely to Jim Jones, who is, I think, the person here who's least appreciated, and I think his role is going to be so pivotal to the success now of the national security efforts on the Obama team. If he works out well to be another Brent Scowcroft, for example, this could be a powerhouse of an administration. On the other hand, if they have falling outs and he can't bang heads together and pull people back together, it's going to be very different.
President-elect Obama said yesterday that he wants disagreements on tactics. He expects that. He wants strong people with strong opinions. Nevertheless, the buck stops here. He quoted Harry Truman. He makes policy, and once that's made, decisions are made, he expects people to follow what that is.
That is almost every incoming president makes that argument. He wants cabinet-style government. He wants to have competing voices. He wants to have diverse views. And then you get in there, and the rush onrush of events and the need to make decisions quickly often overcomes that. And there's a sense in the White House, hey, guys, settle down. Well, we just need to make this decision and move. Let's not have too many arguments. Or there are people who have side arguments in the president's ear, as Colin Powell found, that you go to a meeting, and Dick Cheney might already have tipped the scales in a private conversation with George W. Bush on what the decision would be long before he got there. So it's really important to have somebody who helps to provide an orderly style. And I think Barack Obama has that sense of style, but I think Jim Jones is going to be, as I say, a much more pivotal figure than he has been understood to be so far. We've been so beguiled in the commentariat about the Hillary Clinton appointment. We really haven't focused on the person I think is going to be another real pillar of all of this, and to see how this works. And I also feel that in this particular case, Barack Obama is investing. He's asking people to join him, and they're placing their fortunes with him. But to some extent, he's joined them, and he's placing his fortunes with them. So he can't afford to have a Hillary Clinton walk out on him, nor can he afford to have especially a Bob Gates to walk out on him. If he and Bob Gates have serious differences on policy, and Obama's position looks to the Republican right wing as weak, and then Gates were to walk, you can imagine how devastating that could be to Barack Obama. So, to some degree, just as he's holding them hostage, they're holding him hostage to some degree. That's the risk. Mm-hmm. I think overall this is a superb team, one of the best national security teams we've seen since the days of Harry Truman, and he had the best. But whether it all comes together or not is going to be something we'll just have to wait and see. And I think it's going to be, as I say, a real challenge of leadership. And Barack Obama has shown himself enormously able in running the campaign. If he can pull this off, he's going to be a very, very strong president.
And let's see if we get a caller on the line. Levi's with us, calling from Denver, Colorado.
Oh, yes. Thank you for having me.
Go ahead, please.
So I had a question, Mr. Gergen. I was just wondering if you had any examples of times, perhaps when working for different people with such different core beliefs, if you ever had any personal tension or difficulty with anyone with whom you were working due to a vast difference in beliefs. Having sides so often, it seems like that must have happened at least once.
Well, I only switched sides once, but it seemed like a lot. Churchill actually changed parties, I think, twice. Yes, I did, and it's a pertinent question, Levi. And I had real differences in the Clinton White House over both the substance and the politics of the health care reform package. I felt it was a package that was represented far too much governmental intervention, that it was too far over to the left, and the politics of it were wrongheaded. I thought that President Clinton could succeed by building a bipartisan coalition, a coalition from the center out, and I thought we could achieve at least partial reform. Instead, I think we had a plan that essentially appealed to the left of the Democratic Party, but it was then lampooned by the right, and it went down in flames. So I did have sharp differences over that, which came, I suppose, from my background in Republican administrations and having a more of a free market view. But I did think it was a tragedy that that went down, and I think we've paid a price since then in the growing number of people who are uninsured. I also had some differences, I must tell you, over the handling of the Whitewater papers in the Clinton administration, and that was purely a result of having gone through Watergate. You know, it was a searing experience for me and for others who did that, and taught me that transparency and openness in government are absolutely vital to maintaining public trust. And I really wanted to – I just had differences with Hillary Clinton in particular over the handling of the Whitewater papers. I came away from that whole episode and that experience recognizing that on a number of issues Hillary Clinton and I differed, but I also came to appreciate her as a fighter, and I have great respect for her, and I think she's an excellent choice to be Secretary of State.
But not necessarily expecting a phone call asking you to be her spokesman.
I can guarantee you that call will not come.
Levi, thank you very much for the phone call. Appreciate it.
I look forward to seeing you on TV, Mr. Gergen, again.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And David Gergen, we wanted to thank you, as always, for your time today.
Neil, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much.
David Gergen joined us today from a studio at Harvard University, where he's a professor of public service at the John F. Kennedy School of Government, and served four former presidents, and most recently, Bill Clinton. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.